Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Centre.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost $27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts.
Diagnosing pension problems in the NHS. An FT investigation has revealed that senior doctors across the country are turning down extra shifts or retiring early through fear of landing themselves with punitive tax bills. We find out how the pensions taper is bad for our health. Staying with pensions, if you're one of the 10 million UK workers paying into an auto-enrolment scheme, your contributions are set to rise from April. Keep listening to hear me quiz Paul Lewis, the presenter of Moneybox, on what this means. And finally, you might have a Fitbit to keep track of your activity levels, but did you know there was an equivalent for dogs called PitPat? We bring you the latest on a new pet insurance product that has been launched this week. Welcome to The Money Show, the FT's weekly podcast about personal finance and investing. I'm Jo Cumbo, the FT's pension correspondent, bringing you all of this week's money news. But first, with the NHS facing a staffing crisis, the last thing the health service needs is for doctors to be cutting their hours or retiring early. But an FT investigation this week has found that these are the exact steps that doctors are taking to avoid being landed with huge pension tax bills. Doctors' unions and the NHS are now calling on the government to take urgent action to address the pension problem, which is deepening a workforce crisis and impacting on patient care. Joining me to explain why pensions have become a problem for the NHS is Phil Bowler, who is a specialist NHS advisor with Chase de Vere Medical. Thanks for joining us, Phil. Now, Phil, why have pension tax charges become such a big issue for senior doctors and GPs?
Well, over the years, since the annual allowance and the lifetime allowance tax charge has been introduced by the government, the effect of this has meant that many doctors have been lured into a situation with a tax charge on an annual basis that's complicated to work out.
And the annual limit is how much can be saved into a pension tax-free before tax charges apply?
Correct, yes, which has come down from a level of which was at one stage 255,000 down to a level of 40,000 recently.
Okay, so there's been quite a squeeze on annual savings limits. So what kind of tax bills are doctors being landed with?
Well, this can range from a few thousand pounds to, in some cases, tens of thousands of pounds. And most doctors have now, because of the limits reducing, are now being squeezed into this situation where they're having to pay an additional tax each year.
And what can they do, if anything, to mitigate the impact of these charges?
Well, it's difficult because being in what we call a defined benefit pension scheme means that the flexibilities are fairly rigid. What they can do potentially is opt out the pension scheme, but that has implications obviously for their pension savings for the future. They can also try and work things so that things like their private income is reduced, or even try and work at ways to reduce their NHS income, but that obviously has implications for the NHS itself in the fact that doctors work in less hours.
So they're just turning down extra work to try and deal with the potential risk of these tax bills?
In a nutshell, that's correct, yes.
Right. Yes. So can you see any immediate action taking place to ease the situation for doctors?
Well, I think doctors are becoming more educated. I think that's an important thing. They need more expert guidance. We need more accountants as well who fully understand the annual allowance. But there are options such as they can opt in and out of the pension scheme, and they can obviously still be working for the NHS but not a member of the pension scheme. But again, that has implications for their pension savings. But really, the only way they can avoid it is by earning less. And that, again, has implications for the NHS.
Yes, it's a bad situation for everyone at the moment. We don't want our doctors working less. But just finally, the problem with the annual allowance taper particularly, it's not unique to doctors, is it? There are other higher earners who are affected by it.
Yeah, anyone who's in a defined benefit scheme and a high earner and has relatively a long length of service are likely to be dragged into this. So it can be NHS managers, it could be any other sort of local government type employee, and probably in a managerial role, who could be dragged in.
Okay, we'll be keeping a close eye on this story. Thanks very much to Phil. And you can read more about the FT investigation online now at ft.com/money. And we will have more coverage of this important issue in the FT Money section of the newspaper this weekend. If you're one of the estimated 10 million UK workers paying into a workplace pension via auto-enrolment, your contributions will rise from April. Joining me now to discuss is Paul Lewis, the freelance journalist and BBC Moneybox presenter, who wrote about this issue in last week's FT Money. Welcome, Paul. Workers' contributions are going up come April, and this increase will be felt in their pay packets. But Paul, you don't think the rise will trigger mass opt-outs out of pensions. Why is that?
No, I don't, because in fact they won't really, for most people, be felt in their pay packets, that their pay will go up even though their contributions are going up. It's a weird thing, but contributions are rising nominally for an employee from 3% of their pay to 5% of their pay. Now, everyone pays less than that because those percentages are on a band of earning. And, you know, somebody typically on the national minimum wage will find they're just paying sort of, you know, 3 or 4% more of their pay going into the three
so
or four.
It's not their entire salary that these contributions are based on.
Yeah. Now, nominally, the total contributions going in are supposed to be 8%, but that's of a band of earnings. So for most people, for example, on the minimum wage, the total going in will not be 8%. It will be more like 5% of their pay going in, of which they'll only pay a share. So they are going to feel it, in theory, because their contributions will go up, but it won't go up very much.
Right.
The second, perhaps most important point, is that their pay will be going up. If you're on the minimum wage, that the national living wage is rising considerably by nearly 5%. And so that will overwhelm any increase in your contributions. So the net effect will be your pay will go up in April, and that is what you'll feel.
You said in your column that you think, if anything, that the increase is not enough.
Well, it's clearly not enough. To get a decent pension, you need probably 20% of your total income going into the pension fund. And if you look, for example, at members of parliament, nearly 24% of their pay goes into their pensions. Roughly speaking, they pay nearly half of it, and their employer, which is you, me, and all the listeners, shells out about another 13% of that. So you need a lot more. The Bank of England pays 55% of its staff's pay into the pension scheme for those who are on the old final salary pension. So these amounts are tiny and not enough to get a decent pension. And that's why they've got to carry on going up and not stop, as the plan is at the moment.
Still 20%, many people who are struggling with debt and mortgages, and particularly younger savers, might find that that's quite a steep bar to try and get to. So in particular, do you think that employers could be doing more in terms of contributions?
Yes, absolutely. The strange thing about auto-enrolment is it reverses the normal division of contributions. For almost every other pension scheme, every traditional pension scheme, the employer pays in far more than the employee. In some cases, the employer pays it all. But with auto-enrolment, the employee pays the big share and the employer pays a lot less. From April, employers will typically fork out between 1.5% and 2.5% of total pay for their employees. And that's before they've got tax relief through their corporation tax, and many of them that will reduce it even more to perhaps as little as 1.25% of the pay bill. So they are not paying in very much. So I think they should be paying in, first of all, as much as the employee, and then beyond that, they should pay in perhaps 8% and then perhaps 10% of actual pay. So a reasonable amount is going into these pensions. The danger is that people will think, well, I'm auto-enrolled, it's a government scheme, it must provide a decent pension. It won't. And unless employers also do their bit and pay in more, there are going to be an awful lot of very disappointed people when they reach pension age.
Thanks very much there to Paul Lewis, and you can read his column, Auto-Enrolment Comes of Age, now on fd.com/money. And finally, for all the dog lovers out there, is your four-legged friend as fit as a fiddle, or are they a bit of a podgy pooch? There's been some exciting news in the world of pet insurance this week, with one insurer launching a new product for dogs involving a fitness tracker device called a PitPat. Joining me in the studio to explain more is Alex Howlett, whose report is on the story in FT Money this week. Welcome, Alex.
Hello.
Let's start with a PitPat. How does that work?
So it's an activity monitor, a bit like a Fitbit, but for dogs. And you put it on the dog collar, and using an app on the dog owner's phone, they'll be able to keep track of how much exercise their dog is doing. So if they over-exercise or under-exercise. And they'll have these goals, which are set according to the breed, age and weight of each dog. So it's kind of personalised. And they've now made it dog-proof. I spoke to the founder this week, and he mentioned that the first iteration, which came out a few years ago, didn't quite work, so they realised that dogs roll in poo. So now it's waterproof. You can replace the Velcro.
Poop-proof.
And poop-proof, yeah, exactly.
Well, this is all very reassuring. So how does this PitPat device get you money off your pet insurance premium?
Yeah, so PitPat has partnered with more than pet insurance. So when their customers get their quote confirmation, they'll be able to join PitPat Life. And I think for £48 a year, you'll have to pay that much, and you get all of kind of these perks of membership. But in the long run, if you keep exercising your dog and they remain close to their goals, you can get up to £100 off your insurance premiums.
And how much exercise would you need to do with your dog to get £100 off your premium?
It depends on the dog.
Yeah. Can you give us an example?
So perhaps if you have... I mean, I'm not really sure how much you should walk each kind of breed, but if you have a small chihuahua, they'll have lower goals than if you have like a great big, I don't know.
Right. So it's specific to the dog.
Exactly.
Now, you went to the launch event this week. This must have been quite interesting. How did it go?
It was good. It was quite surreal. It was quite star-studded. There were lots of Instagram famous dogs there. As the founder, Andy Knoll, and someone called Rory the Vet, who's an Instagram famous vet, were trying to speak, you can really hear over like the chorus of dogs kind of barking. But it was very interesting, and they talked a lot about kind of this obesity epidemic happening with dogs in the UK. I think around half of dogs are obese, so it's
not getting
well
enough
done.
Exercise,
yeah,
part
exactly.
of the problem.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks very much there to the FT's Alex Howlett, and you can read more about this interesting story online now at ft.com/money or in the FT Money section of the newspaper this weekend. And that's all from The Money Show this week. To get in touch with the Money team or to put a question to our team of experts, email us on money@ft.com. And for the latest news updates, follow us on Twitter at FT Money. We'll be back next week at the usual time. Till then, goodbye.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. In unscripted conversations with investment professionals, you'll hear real stories about successes and lessons learned, informed by decades of investment experience. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. New episodes are available monthly. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.